There is a great deal of ongoing concern about how poorly some of us treat our children. Child abuse prevention programs popped up all over the landscape in the last few decades. They still exist because the abuse and neglect still exist. In Lane County, a child abuse prevention program attaches numbers to its work, 90 by 30, as in cutting child abuse 90% by the year 2030. That may be a tall order, but there are lots of people and organizations involved in the effort. We have two guests with us to talk about 90 by 30. Dr. Jeff Todol is the director at the Center for the Prevention of Abuse and Neglect at the University of Oregon and is a co-founder of 90 by 30. Jeff, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thank you.
And Phyllis Barkhurst is with us as well. She is the current director of 90 by 30. Phyllis, thank you for joining us.
You're welcome.
Tell us, one of you, if you would, since you were at the beginning, could you tell us how 90 by 30 got started?
Yes, and Phyllis and I both were in the beginning, and we actually in the beginning had hundreds of people interested. And it began with a number of conversations, and then the first event that we had, it was more of a formal event, occurred in February of 2011, where we asked what we're now calling the 90 by 30 question. And we've been asking members of the Lane County community, imagine that it's 2030, and we've reduced child abuse neglect 90%, and it's 90% below current rates. How did we achieve it, and what do we need to do right now? And so we've been in the process of, since that time, of studying the issue, engaging our community, and taking that question very seriously. And we're in a place right now where we don't have a specific solution to this particular social problem. What we're working to build is a process to create a specific solution in Lane County.
It sounds like then, in a sense, you're almost mapping the steps backwards. You figured out what you wanted to do, which was reduce child abuse and neglect 90% by 2030, but then you have to figure out the steps to get there.
Yes.
Got it. Phyllis Barkhurst, was 90 by 30 born of a real sense of frustration then?
Yes, I think for many of us, and me included, we've been on the intervention or the after-the-fact end for many years. I started in Klamath Falls in 1984 and been in Oregon working on the after-the-fact for child abuse and domestic violence and sexual assault and all these issues for the past 30 years, and we've seen, as we've grown programs, we've been successful in making more and more services available, but we haven't seen the incidence rate drop. We haven't seen the number of kids impacted. We've seen those rise and continue to rise. So we started asking the question of, is services alone, which are absolutely vital and necessary, but are services alone going to stop or prevent or turn back these numbers, and came to the conclusion that they're not. There's every reason to believe that if we don't add different layers of prevention to the work, that these numbers are not going to go down and they're going to continue to rise. So that was 90 by 30. And people who did the assessment, like myself, like Jeff, were people who've been in the after-the-fact part of this field for a long time and are now ready to implement strategies that have been really found to be successful elsewhere in the country or the world, but bring them to Oregon. And so it was born out of that idea of, we better change what we're doing or add to what we're doing, or we're not going to see this drop.
So now, Jeff, go ahead.
If I could add to that, one of the comments you made as you introduced us was that there have been dozens and dozens of prevention programs, child abuse prevention programs that have developed over the years. And I would actually say that there have been very, very few, and it's an important distinction, that what has developed over the years, as Phyllis was just saying, is we have more service programs that respond to abuse and neglect, and many of them very well after it's occurred. What we have very little of are programs that are designed and community efforts that are designed to change the conditions that allow abuse and neglect to occur in the first place. And so that's part of our emphasis, is to really look at primary prevention. And part of another little bit of backdrop, in 2000 in Oregon, there were 40,000 reports of child abuse and neglect across the state of Oregon. And then in 2011, there were 74,342. So the rates of reporting have increased. The actual rates of abuse and neglect, we believe, and there's evidence around the United States and all over the world, that the rates are actually much, much higher than that. But we don't know in Lane County the actual rate, so part of our effort is better measurement.
Well, you both drawn an important distinction here, and I accept the criticism of the intro that we're talking about programs about child abuse. They are generally about after the fact services, as both of you have identified, and not so much on prevention. So, as we begin to cast our attention to prevention, then Phyllis Barkhurst, what are some of the methods that are in play here?
Well, I think we need to do some myth busting. For instance, most child abuse is neglect. And so, you know, most of the time the things that grab the headlines are severe cases or when a child dies. And all across Oregon, the cases that, you know, are most common are some level of neglect, which lend themselves to a community intervention, meaning neighborhoods and schools and faith communities and individual community members. Some of the strategies we're looking at are really designed to help that issue of neglect, which is, you know, the highest amount of kids suffer from neglect of all other forms of child abuse. So busting some myths about what's the reality so that we can choose great strategies to match that reality, I think is key.
We are talking about child abuse services and prevention vis-a-vis the 90 by 30 program in Lane County, where Phyllis Barkhurst is the director. Dr. Jeff Todahl was one of the co-founders and is the director at the Center for the Prevention of Abuse and Neglect at the University of Oregon, where 90 by 30 is housed. Join this discussion on the exchange at 800-838-3760 in Lane County and anywhere in our listening area. In the Rogue Valley, our local number is 541-552-6782. Our email address is jx@jeffnet.org. Phyllis, I want to expand on the concept of neglect then. I mean, neglect in terms of the children are not fed, they're not given a decent place to sleep. I mean, is it all along those lines? So not actually being hit or sexually abused?
Correct. I mean, the neglect reigns on the continuum of there's no adult's home because maybe both parents are working or it's a single parent who's working or commuting. And so it's small children looking after, you know, even smaller children when they're really not prepared or able to do that. That's a common form of neglect. When kids don't have enough warm clothes, when kids don't have parents who have the ability or the time to spend with them, you know, as kids need because of what's going on in the family, we know that stress, whatever the stress may be, plays a huge part in child abuse and neglect. And so a lot of the strategies we're looking at is how to intervene in that stress before things go bad or before things get worse. And the earlier the intervention, of course, the more successful. Nobody wants to see more kids in foster care. I mean, the research is clear that kids, once they're removed from the home, don't do as well as if they can stay in a home that becomes safe and nurturing. So focusing on the before things go bad is really the issue. But the neglect really runs along that continuum. And sometimes it's people not understanding that having their children watch, you know, extremely violent video games at 6 years old is not, you know, it's harmful to the child. Some of it's just not having an understanding of what children are exposed to can be harmful to them. So that's a piece of it as well.
Dr. Jeff Todahl, I feel like we haven't established this much yet. Is Lane County in particular a bit more prone to child abuse than perhaps some other counties?
I don't believe so. The rates are above levels that any of us would want anywhere. And we anticipate that in Lane County, as our initiative moves forward, as more people become familiar with the effort, that our rates will increase, the rates of reports will increase, because as you surface this issue, more people come forward. We're in a situation right now where people care very much about this issue and want kids to be safe and families to be supported, but we're not real clear about what to do about it. And as we've been talking around Lane County, we've talked with over 1,000 people individually, done a lot of surveys, we've been in town hall meetings all over Lane County, and we're really working to engage our community, study the issue, learn more about it, and we think as we do that, more people will report abuse and neglect, actually. So the trajectory is an increase in reporting prior to a reduction in rates is what we anticipate. And if I could just make one other comment about, you'd asked about prevention, and we think that part of the work is around getting more clear about how we can behave differently as a community. And one example of that, it was a survey that we did in just the Eugene-Springfield area. It was a random digitelephone call. We talked with 351 Eugene-Springfield residents who indicated they were survivors of abuse or neglect. They were all adults at the time, but they'd had an abuse history early in their lives. And we asked them a number of things about their abuse and neglect experiences, but we were especially interested in how did people respond at the time of being abused, both individuals and the community. And one question was, at the time when you were first being abused and neglected, how often did someone help or protect you? And most were abused and neglected prior to the age of 6. So how often at that age did someone help or protect you? And response options were never, rarely, sometimes, and often. And 47% of Eugene Springfield residents said, no one ever helped me. And 19% said, rarely. So that's not an accident. That's a social condition that speaks to what happens around abuse and neglect and speaks to the silence and the denial and minimization that can happen. We think that there's a lot we can do as a community to change that response.
Does that often start with the abuse victim? I mean, will abuse victims sometimes be hesitant to tell somebody else about what's happened to them?
Oh, absolutely, and for very good reasons. And it's partly because it's not clear what a helping response looks like. And we can get much better about response. And I think that's one key to a part of a spectrum of prevention efforts.
Jeff Todol and Phyllis Barkhurst, our guests on the Jefferson Exchange. We're talking about the 90 by 30 program in Lane County, aiming to reduce child abuse by 90% by the year 2030. Here is Dave in Grants Pass. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange.
Good morning to all, Jeff. If I could ask your guest, with the increasing acceptability of widespread marijuana use, I assume recreational legalization is probably only a couple years away in this state. How that impacts what their goals is. It doesn't mean every marijuana user is an abuser, but I've heard repeatedly from social workers that a vast majority of abusers, in fact, have used illicit drugs.
All right, worth pursuing. Thanks for the call, Dave. Appreciate that. Phyllis, you want to take a stab at that?
Well, what I can't say anything about, you know, if marijuana goes legal, how that's going to impact it. What we do know is that substance abuse certainly plays a role and I mean substance abuse, not substance use, because some people drink responsibly, you know, other people use substances responsibly. But if there's somebody abusing a substance, then they're not really able to be a caretaker for children, so that's clearly correlated to child abuse and neglect. So that's what I would say about that.
All right. I want to come back to some of the numbers, because the numbers you gave, Jeff Todol, were 40,000 reports of child abuse. Was that just Lane County in 2000?
Was that was Oregon.
State
yeah.
of Oregon. Okay.
Oregon. Yeah.
And then in 2011, 11 years later, 74,000 reported cases of child abuse and neglect. So not quite a doubling, but awful close. Given that, as you have pointed out, as people become more aware of child abuse and neglect, they report it more, do the numbers become abstract and to some degree meaningless, because it's just really hard to get a fix on just what the total picture is?
Well, I think that the numbers tell a picture of a number of things. And so I think, in ironically, in one sense, as reporting numbers increase, that's one sign of success in one way. Well, part of what we're working to do, though, is to measure the actual rates of abuse and neglect. And we've concentrated our effort to Lane County in one effort to be much more effective at better measurements. Instead of trying to measure all over Oregon, all over the United States, we want to do really well in one community so that we can have credible information to share with our community. And so I think that if you only look at one number of anything, it doesn't tell a very good story. And so we're looking at several kind of angles of the story as a part of our effort.
And so, Phyllis Barkhurst, at the founding of 90 by 30, was there some discussion of what number to shoot for? I mean, did somebody suggest, and I don't mean to be flippant here, but like, an 80 by 2035 or something?
Yes. I mean, there was discussion about that, certainly. I think there was two things that led to us making the decision about 90 by 30. One is that we found that if we said, oh, we're going to do 90 by 2050, for instance, many people in our community or even around the state that we talked to had this reaction of, oh, I'll be dead or I'll be not working or whatever. It was hard for them to wrap around getting involved in something that they couldn't see what they wouldn't be around for the outcome. The other piece was we deliberately wanted to be aspirational. I mean, we didn't want to say, let's try to decrease child abuse by 15% and see how it goes. We wanted to really boldly be aspirational and go for what we're wanting. And there are so many prevention strategies worldwide that have been effective in these ad hoc, isolated ways that have shown promise. So our plan to bring as many of those as possible into one place, Lane County, and implement them simultaneously, we expect to see a dramatic decrease. At the holidays, my dad said to me, well, what if you only decrease it 75%? I said, Dad, that would be an amazingly wonderful thing, and then we'll know, because of the research component of this, how we decrease something by 75% so that we can continue down that road until we reach that goal.
So can we call 90 by 30 a coalition? Are you making use of existing programs then and just sort of melding all the efforts into one major campaign together?
Is that to me?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, it's absolutely. It's a campus community partnership, and it's a rural-urban partnership. We started in the rural areas of Lane County because, and Jeff and I are both from very small towns, and we know that often when there's a community where there's an urban center and more rural areas, the rural folks often aren't really included or around the table at the beginning or the initiation of something. And we started there through support from the Ford Family Foundation. We started with our rural areas and are working our way to the metro areas. So we have hundreds of people who have jumped on board to say, I want to be part of this. We're really focusing a lot on retired folks. Lane County's population increase has been more due to retired folks moving here than it has to live births of infants. So, you know, we have a 5-to-1 ratio of adults to children in Lane County. We have the adult resources to work on these strategies to make this community safer for kids and supportive of families.
Let us take another call. We have Grumpy John in Grants Pass on the line. We're talking about the 90 by 30 program to reduce child abuse in Lane County with Phyllis Barkhurst and Jeff Todahl.
I have a suggestion as far as child abuse at a slightly younger age than they're dealing with. I took a case of earplugs over to the local hospital and suggested that all newborn parents be issued a set of earplugs, because when you've got a screaming infant in your arms and it's 3 o'clock in the morning and they won't shut up, if you have just the distraction of, oh, I can go over here, put these earplugs in, and it will take some of the fingernails on the blackboard out of the situation, then you have not just something that will help, but also something positive that you can do about the situation. And if you have that distraction, if you have that reduction in frustration and discomfort, then you are much less likely to end up with shaken baby syndrome. The person I talked to at the hospital wasn't interested for whatever reason, and it frustrated me considerably, but I wanted to pass that along to you as far as how to actually reduce shaken baby syndrome. Just a simple set of earplugs issued with every set of new parents.
Yeah, I wonder what the pediatric powers that be would say about that. Grumpy John, thanks for the call. Appreciate that. Jeff Todahl, let's talk a little more broadly about ideas for prevention then. I mean, Grumpy John came up with one that obviously was not necessarily received warmly at the hospital. But when you begin to talk about not just recognizing abuse but also working on prevention, what are some of the key areas you begin to work on? What are some of the buttons you begin to push?
Well, I would say, I'm going to speak to Grumpy John's action there. I think he's right on. And whether it's earplugs or whatever specific suggestion he or others might have, the action he took to try to do something about the issue is what this is about. As an individual resident of his community, he worked to take action. Now, his action will be better received if it's a part of a collective effort. And it's easy to dismiss one individual. It's difficult to assess the community that's come together to say, we are taking this serious, we're working together, and we're doing this in concert with one another. And his action was about caring about this issue. And it may be that earplugs for some parents make a big difference. Parenting is a very stressful kind of a thing to experience, having been a parent and being a parent myself. And the thing I like about his action was it's not very expensive. We've been asking residents all over Lane County, do you think we can do this? What are your attitudes? And the majority say, we can. We can dramatically reduce child abuse and neglect, but we likely won't. So we have the capacity, but we won't. And when we ask, why do you think we won't? They've been saying, it's too expensive. Violence is just a part of our nature, and it's too complicated. But I think, and Phyllis agrees, and the supporters of our initiative have been saying, it doesn't have to be expensive. There are many things we can do that are not expensive. One program that we're excited about is called Safe Families for Children that developed in Chicago, has very good evidence to support it. The faith community, volunteers, it's kind of an alternative to child protective services systems. The family that might benefit from the earplugs can contact Safe Families for Children and request respite. And so we have a long list of prevention strategies that have proven evidence. We want to pool them together in our community more intentionally.
Phyllis Barkhurst, is there an element of this in which people need to become a little more cognizant of what represents child abuse and neglect? And for that reason, is it going to make some people uncomfortable in the sense that, well, I guess I'm going to have to watch what my neighbors do a little more or something along those lines?
I think you've hit a key issue. I mean, there's certainly a lot of will and really goodwill on the part of most people to want to be part of something. And there's also a barrier of, I don't want to get involved in somebody else's business. And so for us, that's the shifting that social norm to, you know, and that's part of our countywide effort is to get those messages out there about our highest value is keeping kids safe and protecting kids and making sure that they grow up healthy and secure and have what they need to survive and thrive. And so if that's our highest value, then how do we deal with feeling uncomfortable about maybe saying something to somebody, or if we notice a child wears the same shirt for an entire week on the way to school, we notice it, we don't want to call Child Protective Services for a child wearing the same shirt, but what can we do? And that's what some of these strategies are about. They're simply about training people, giving people information, and doing role plays and other things to show, oh, this could be an effective strategy. This is another way. It's all relationship-based. I mean, if you know your neighbor, I mean, one of the most effective strategies around child abuse prevention could be welcome wagon, going back to the idea when somebody moves into a neighborhood that neighbors go and meet them. And so they're much more likely, if they know their name, they've met their kids, et cetera, to when they notice something, to offer support. And so the more that there's a relationship there, the more protection there are for kids. And that's not something you immediately think of when you think of what can I do to make this community safer. But knowing that your neighbors or the say you're really involved in kids sports, and a lot of families are, then, you know, getting to know the parents of the other kids on the team so that when you notice something, there's some relationship there. That's a key component of what we're talking about. And to help overcome that idea of, well, should I say something or not, to give ourselves as a community permission, like Grumpy John did. What's his name, John? Sorry.
It was Grumpy John, yes.
Yeah, like he did. He gave himself permission to not just be a bystander, but to actually be active, and that's what we're talking about.
And to think a little more outside the box. The Building Bridges Conference I see coming up on February 28th, can anybody from the public attend that?
Absolutely. Anybody who's really interested in looking at some of these strategies firsthand.
Okay.
We have people coming from all over the world and from all over Oregon.
Great. Phyllis Barkhurst and Jeff Todahl talking about 90 by 30 in Lane County. Thank you so much for joining us.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Thank you.